Welcome to episode 2 of the Sports Geek podcast, where we'll talk about Sir Alex Ferguson's retirement with Thank You Sir Alex. We'll look at some of the tools of the trade and we'll get some clarity on how to do LinkedIn networking. Welcome to the Sports Geek podcast. My name is Sean Callanan from Sports Geek. First of all, I must say an absolute massive thank you to everyone who listened to the first podcast and gave us plenty of feedback on Twitter at Sports Geek or to my personal account at Sean Callanan. Absolutely blown away with the response from people both in Australia, UK, the US. Terrific response, and it really inspires me to keep delivering awesome content for you guys in this form, because I'm really becoming a big fan of podcasting, which leads us into our first segment where we start talking about the retirement of Sir Alex Ferguson from Man United. How did they do it, and what happened when they did? So this is my discussion with Francis Leach on ABC Grandstand. You can catch that on Saturday mornings on ABC Grandstand Digital.
Sean Callanan's our regular companion on a Saturday morning to talk sport and digital media from Sports Geek HQ. Crazy week. Whenever a big announcement's made, we see social media and the dynamics of it play out for all to see, the good and the bad. I think Manchester United had an experience of both this week.
Definitely, yeah. So the big news was obviously the retirement of Sir Alex. And, you know, by and large, I think Man U handled the retirement, you know, really well. The hashtag Thank You Sir Alex was pretty well populated. Now, Man U have a pretty funny relationship with Twitter. They don't have a Twitter account.
How do they explain that? Because I'd imagine they're one of the hottest points of discussion for football fans around the world.
Yeah, it's a bit like, as far as being on Twitter, they're a bit like being half pregnant. Man United. So the Man United press office is on Twitter. So Man United _PO, but Man United effectively isn't. You know, and I think it was about 2 years ago they said, well, we don't see a reason for being on Twitter. There wasn't a commercial reason, I think, was the thing that they put forward.
That's just dumb. For an organisation that is so savvy, that's plain dumb.
It is. You know, from brand recognition, all these things,
fan
engagement, global reach and all, you know, all the things that we discuss every week.
Yeah.
You know, so the Man United press office account, which is verified, you know, so they've been verified by the guys at Twitter UK. They put out, you know, Sir Alex retires, hashtag Thank You Sir Alex. You know, and that generated, you know, after 1 hour, 1.4 million mentions of, you know, the Sir Alex hashtag. It was trending worldwide in 8 minutes. That tweet alone had 33,000 retweets. So again, it should show them that the power of Twitter from a reach point of view, because Twitter is where it does go viral.
Okay, let's just wind that back a bit. Okay, so 1.4 million mentions in total.
Trending, no, 1 point after 1 hour.
That's what I'm saying. Within eight minutes, it was trending worldwide. Just think about the power of the medium itself and the devices delivered. We're talking about this information traveling around the world. And rather than being at a central point via a television or a radio was portable. So I guess that makes it a little easier. But people are literally walking around on streets and towns all over the world, yep, sharing this information virtually simultaneously. It is an extraordinary.
It peaked at 13,000 tweets per minute around the Thank You Sir Alex hashtag. So again, yeah, you know, we live in this world where, you know, our smartphone is with us all the time, and there is this real sense of everyone feels like they're almost a digital journalist and everyone wants to break news. So, you know, when you see something, they want to send it out and they want to make sure everyone knows that they know, and, you know, obviously then pass on their messages. So
they should be feeling good at this point that everyone has locked into their hashtag, has gotten on board with what,
you know,
they were trying to.
You know, Facebook, which is a platform they have been on, they were a late adopter. But, you know, they did get, the, you know, millions and millions of fans very, very quickly.
I can say I'm not one of them.
Yeah. So, you know, I should have checked that. 33 million or something ridiculous from a Facebook fan's point of view. They put up a post where they said, please leave Sir Alex, you know, your messages of support. And I thought, well, you know.
Simple but good.
Left him a little link and it sent him to a Facebook app, which again was a terrific play because it was like, oh, Francis, please leave your name, your email address and your message for Sir Alex. Now, whether Sir Alex read the messages, they just got an absolute bumper load of email addresses and built their database, which is one of the key things you've got to do in sports marketing and using social. So they had 190,000 people click on that link.
Who'll all be getting an email advertising the new Manchester United script for next year.
Potentially, but the fascinating thing, and this again goes to the global trends, only 11% of those are in the UK. So again, it just shows you the worldwide nature of the Man United fan base and the fact that, you know, both, you know, Twitter is great from a viral reach point of view, but Facebook's also great from a traffic driver point of view. You know, all these people went and they went to this Facebook app to wish Sir Alex, you know, thank you very much.
It's all blue sky days. How do they stuff it up?
So then obviously they had to control the message of who is the next manager.
Uh-huh.
And they set up a similar Facebook app to say, send your message of congratulations or / please give us your email when you congratulate the new manager, David Moyes, in a Facebook app. They obviously were in the process of setting up that app, and the Twitter account set out a tweet saying, you know, United connected, and they sent out a tweet with the link. And you go to the link and it says, welcome, David Moyes.
And this is before?
This is before they'd made any announcement. So it was a bit of someone slipped on the tweet button.
Let me push one button.
It was quickly deleted, but it was picked up by FIFA.com, and it, boom, you know, again, Twitter being Twitter, it went viral, and they lost control of that story. Like, they didn't get the first user advantage of we're going to be the ones that break it. Because from a sporting team's point of view, you want to be the one that's in front of that curve and have everyone else report on
it. And the politics of it are different too, because then Bill Kenwright at Everton said, I didn't agree to this. We haven't made this announcement. He's our manager still. Their noses are out of joint. David Moyes is wrong-footed and embarrassed.
It's a tough position to go into to begin with, and then to, you know, to mishandle that transition. It's the, you know, best case scenario and the worst case scenario within 24 hours at Man U. So just sort of shows, you know, how much from a social media, it's got to be completely part of your comms plan, and the execution has to be completely switched on and well planned and well thought out.
And it reminds us also that as soon as you tweet something like that,
it's out.
You might delete it, but if someone gets their hands on it, retweets it, it's gone.
It's captured by, you know, it'll be in someone's cache, it'll be in someone's phone. So it's really, you know, deleting something like that isn't worthwhile. It is a matter of quick, let's fire up that comms team and get in, you know, put this story out. You know, but it has generated a whole bunch of stories. Even I saw today a story from Wayne Rooney where they're now writing up. Wayne Rooney has changed because there was rumours that he's asked to leave.
Because he's had a falling out with David Moyes. He wrote about David Moyes in his biography.
And so
he's his former manager at Everton.
Exactly. And they've said that he removed Man U from his Twitter bio. And, you know, it's the biggest Twitter bio change since Lance Armstrong removed, you know, 7-time winner. And he's returned. He goes, no, I didn't. I just changed it 3 months ago to say I was a Nike UK athlete to do with the rules around, you know, social media and sponsorship and being open about your partnerships. He said he never changed it. But it was, again, the big story that this is, they're trying to make something. And they're making something in this case. It wasn't there. But at least, you know, via Twitter, Wayne Rooney is allowed to say, you know, just noting on my bio, that's rubbish. Check out my website, which pretty much says that's rubbish. but again, it gives him the voice to say, you know, call out the lazy journos that have just gone and said, oh, want to stir the pot.
Sir Alex isn't on Twitter, is he?
No, he's not on Twitter. I don't think he'll be on Twitter anytime soon. Although, you know, he might look at Phil Jackson, who's still sort of struggling with Twitter with his first quite obscure tweet, where his first tweet was a bunch of characters that just looked like you know, smashing of the keyboard, and then it got revealed in a video. Gee, it's really hard to type with 11 rings on your fingers. So it was really
magnificent.
It was a very great first tweet, but I think he's a bit too obscure for most of the Twitter audience.
Lost in translation,
yeah,
a little
exactly.
bit. Hey, Sean, you've got a new podcast that people can check out soon?
They can. It was with our discussion with James last week. You go to sportsgeekhq.com/1 for the first episode.
The numeral one.
Exactly.
Excellent. Go there and check it out. Thanks for coming in this morning.
No worries, mate.
Sean Cullen and the Sports Geek with us here talking sport and the digital media in Manchester United's, pleasure and pain in the social media world trying to deal with the retirement of Sir Alex Ferguson and the arrival of David Moyes.
Well, you really couldn't have been on the internet last week without seeing the Thank You Sir Alex campaign. What were your thoughts on how Man U rolled it out? And then also a little bit unfortunate that that early tweet went out. But we've all been there when something has gone a little bit wrong in what we've done digitally. The key thing is to own up to it, manage it and move forward. Obviously, it was a difficult situation there with the signings not quite happening and the comms team just getting a little bit of prep. You can only imagine the panic that might have been happening. Also, what are your thoughts on Man U not yet on Twitter? I must thank Lewis Wilshire from Twitter UK. His blog there from the Twitter Sports blog did provide a lot of the stats on that Thank You Sir Alex campaign. And one of those tools that was used and how I analysed it was the Bitly tool. Everyone uses Bitly. It's a terrific way to, one, shorten your URLs for Twitter, but then also to track where your traffic's coming from, how successful things are going. And so all I had to do was to put a plus symbol at the end of the Bitly link to be able to analyse how the Man U campaign went. I'll put that link in the show notes, but it leads me to my discussion that I had on Halftime on different tools that we're using at SportsGeek and also our clients are using. We actually created a list using Listly on the SportsGeek website. You can check it out, sportsgeekhq.com/tools. And here is my discussion with Tony Shebeki on Halftime SCN on some of the tools that we like using.
Sean Carolan, our sports digital media guru for sportsgeekhq.com.
G'day, Sean.
G'day, Shebex. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Very well. What's happening out there in the world of social media?
Oh, there's a lot. Obviously, the NBA playoffs is trending nightly these days. So it's same with the NHL to a lesser extent, with the fight for the Stanley Cup and, yeah, all things sport over here. So very busy time in the world of sport and sports digital.
And are people keeping themselves nice?
Oh, yeah. Primarily, although there's a little bit of byplay between Tim Duncan and Andrew Bogut, but Tim Duncan hasn't taken, he's not on Twitter, so it hasn't gone into the digital sphere, but a little backwards and forwards between the big men's is fine.
A quick question too about Brendan Goddard and the tweet that he put out after the hit he got from James Kelly.
Yep.
Obviously the AFL haven't said anything to him about it.
I don't think there's any problem with it. It's, you know, he would have said it on radio. It was just, you know, it's good for the fans to see that interaction between between players, and you know, and he was just saying, you know, respect for the bump. It didn't bother me. Yeah, that's exactly what is the good side of Twitter and seeing the players engage on that space.
All right, now I'm looking at your iPad. I've got mine in front of me, and I'm looking at yours. You've got this amazing writing app. What in the hell is that?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I wanted to discuss today. Some of the different tools that, you know, we recommend for our clients and the guys sort of out there on the road or out there on the sideline, sort of helping their team, you know, promote, whether it's, you know, via Twitter, Facebook, all the different channels. And it does take a veritable sports geek toolbox. And most of it does come in your iPad, your iPhone or an Android phone. This app that I'm using here is called Penultimate. And it's an add-on app for Evernote. So I'm a massive fan of Evernote for clipping notes and taking notes, screenshots, all of that kind of stuff. It becomes your own little personal store. So Penultimate, you know, you get to use a stylus on your iPad and you just write your notes, you know, old school style, to actually use your handwriting. And it's good because it recognizes your handwriting. You know, you could effectively, you know, if you wanted to, you could use it like a digital autograph book. You could hand your stylus over and someone could, sign it. They actually sort of did something similar to that with the Australian Open. With their app, you could, you know, get the player autograph on the app and then tap a button and email that autograph to your mate. So Penultimate's, I'm finding I'm using my iPad a lot more now because I'm just sort of writing notes on it and things like that. So that's one of the, we've compiled a bit of list at sportsgeekhq.com/tools. You know, go there, check out the list, see which ones you've used, which ones you haven't. Love to hear from people, you know, what tools they use. Some of the ones I've listed here, I actually created that list with a product called Listly, and it allows you to, as the name would suggest, build a list together. So you could do it for, you know, plays of the week and then allow the fans to vote on them and things like that. Or, you know, here's the latest news or here's the news you've missed, that kind of thing. We also use a product called Sprout Social. And that allows you to just have a little bit more control and have a bit of vision of your Twitter stream. And you can say, oh, I want to follow this hashtag. I want to sort of take some notes on key fans. You know, so if you're a Saints, if you're there monitoring the Saints feed and you see Warnie come up, oh, you know, we know Warnie's a big Saints supporter. Mm. We want to pay attention to him. Does some really good stuff with analytics, that kind of thing. So gives you that total view of here's my Facebook stream and Twitter stream coming in together, bit of management that way. Some other ones, there's one called Foster, which is Foster, poster with PH. Okay. And it allows you to take a photo of, you know, anything, which is why the name comes up, but make a poster of it, whether it be, you know, one night only or whatever. It allows you to quickly make up, a bit of graphical magic just on your phone right there. Some other ones that we've been using, Dropbox is a great tool that from a storage point of view, you can take a photo, saves to your Dropbox, and by the time you're back in the press box to your computer, that photo will be on your Dropbox and you can then post it on Facebook. So cool. It's a really good way. Again, it also, you know, touch wood that you've got coverage and Wi-Fi coverage in the stadium you're in, but we've discussed that previously. Another one that I really like a lot, and it takes a little bit of getting used to and how you can do it, is a website called IFTT with three T's, and it stands for, so it's IFTTT.com, and it stands for if this then that.com. And what it allows you to do,
your flowchart.
It is exactly that. So it allows you to say, if this happens over here, I want this to happen over there. So one of the ways that I use it is, say for instance, I'm on Instagram and I see some really cool shots on an Instagram feed from a pro sports franchise and I want to profile them later. So I'll know most likely do the old double tap as you do on Instagram to say I like it. But I've got an IFTT rule that says if I like a photo on the Sports Geek HQ Instagram feed, grab that photo, save it to my Dropbox into a folder called Instagram likes, and then there's the team. So automatically I'm getting a backup and a resource of all these Instagram photos. So a lot of our teams will use that functionality to save all the great fan photos, and then they'll repurpose and put a fan album up for fans to say, hey, that's my shot of, you know, at Etihad Stadium or at the MCG. So again, just a few shortcuts that you can get with some of the tools that work really well.
All available at
sportsgeekhq.com/tools is where you'll find that list.
Thanks, Sean. Catch you again next week.
No worries, Rex.
Sean Callan, our digital media sports geek.
I'd love your feedback on that tools list. All the tools there I've used at a variety of levels, some daily, some weekly, some monthly, some just for projects, but always on the lookout for new tools that help make the job of the sports digital professional far easier. I've made the jump from iPhone to Android, so I've tested tools from both sides of the force, if you will. So please, let me know what tools you're using and what's making your job easier, because we want more people to know what these tools are. For the final segment of the show, I want to tell you about a product and a new web service called Clarity. You can go to its website, clarity.fm. It's a way for you to get access to experienced mentors, business owners, expertise via a phone call, and you can book people on a per-minute basis. So I've signed up there. You can find me, clarity.fm/Sean Callanan. But you can also find people far more experienced and smarter than me. Chris Brogan, if you're in the web marketing space, you'll know Chris's work. My good friend Sean Malarkey, who does some really good work in the internet marketing space. And you can even book a call with Dallas Mavericks owner and star of Shark Tank, Mark Cuban. He does charge $166 per minute, but if you've got the money to spend, you can call Mark Cuban. So here is a chat that I had with BJ Scott, who was intern at the SEEK conference last year, and he reached out to me to say how can he build his network just as he comes up to his graduation. And congratulations, BJ. Good luck for all your efforts in the future. So here's our chat on Clarity.
So when I'm looking at my network, as far as you know, the expanded network, not necessarily your focus network, but my expanded network, just as far as everyone is concerned, should I try to keep it limited to people that are within, you know, the field in which I'm trying to go, or should I keep it as broad as possible and, you know, keep my network as wide as everyone I know? Is that something that, you know?
But that's a good question. And, you know, I guess LinkedIn to a certain degree sort of fits in that space. Like, who do I connect with on LinkedIn? I'm of the approach, because I've come from a couple of different industries, you know. So as sports geek, previously I was a geek and now I'm in sports. So I use LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn for 6 or 7 years. So LinkedIn just turned 10, but I think I was on LinkedIn quite early because I was in the IT space. I've connected with all those people that I worked with at that time. My philosophy is, and then when I've since moved into sports, I've connected with people all across the sports spectrum, because it's, you know, it has some value. And the reason I'd say is to be, you know, open networking is a little bit of a dirty word in some circles from LinkedIn. I'm just open to networking with anybody because I don't know where the opportunity might lie. Again, so if I'm sharing information, and again, I've been using Buffer app and it's been very good because I can share to Twitter and I can share to LinkedIn. It's been very good in staying in touch with people all around the world. And you also don't know how closely your network is following you. So, you know, one of the stats that Twitter roll out is that 40% of people that have a Twitter account don't tweet. So it doesn't mean they're not using Twitter.
Yeah, they're just watching.
They're just watching and consuming.
They're just watching. They're just following.
So for instance, like, I'll go to SEAT this August, and I know some of the guys aren't really active on social and Twitter and things like that. But I know that they'll walk up to me, not to pump up my own tires, but they'll walk up to me and ask me how things are going, how my last trip went. Because they've been following me, they're just not interacting.
Right. Because they know.
Yeah, and so it gives you that familiarity. And so, you know, you might be...
And they're engaged.
Yeah, they're engaged. But, you know, you might be going for a job or asking someone for an opportunity, and someone will say, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. BJ, I've been following you on Twitter. Sounds like SEAT was interesting. You know, what did you learn? And automatically, you know, you've gone from a complete cold call type scenario, whether it be for a job or a sales or an opportunity, to having some sort of semi-relationship, whether it's just, yes, I've followed your tweets, I know a little bit about you. So to answer your question about how wide your network should be, I would make it as wide as possible because, again, you don't know, you know, again, all your classmates, you don't know where they might end up because you can't predict where they might, what industry, what opportunity. And, again, if someone might be in a completely different industry, and then they might come back to you for, oh, we've got our company wants to sponsor a sports team, and you're like, cool, I'm working in sports, and they're your first port of call because they look at their LinkedIn feed, and that's why, you know, you've already got that connection with them. Thanks again to BJ Scott there for allowing me to use that clip from our clarity.fm call. What are your thoughts on my LinkedIn strategies around connecting with everyone that I think might be beneficial down the track? It's been very beneficial in the way that I've gone about building Sports Geek, making connections both here and around the world. And if we're not connected on LinkedIn, please fire me an invite. You can find me, Sean Callanan, on LinkedIn, or check out the Sports Geek company page by going to sportsgeekhq.com/LinkedIn and find Sports Geek on LinkedIn. But I think the other thing from that little chat with BJ is the 40% of people on Twitter don't tweet. So what you've got to remember when you are tweeting as a team or as a brand or an athlete, you've got to remember that there's a lot of people just consuming. And so you've got to remember to be checking those stats. Use something like Bitly or Hootsuite or something that checks the stats to see what people are clicking on and where they're going. Because there is a tendency, especially with Twitter, is to listen to the chatter and to listen to the mentions and the people who are chatting a lot. And they're great fans. They're super avid. They're, you know, what we would call your digital cheer squad. You've also got to be aware that there's a lot of people just consuming your content. That's it for episode 2. Please give me some feedback on the format. I'm going to try to get interviews and features with sports digital professionals around the world each week if I can. Hopefully they're not all as Sean heavy. That's probably what I should say when I'm standing on the scales. But they won't all be me every week. You can tune into the live radio spots on ABC Grandstand on Saturday mornings or Friday afternoons in the US, and Wednesday afternoons on Halftime on SEN. One more shout out to a fellow podcaster and one of the guys that sort of inspired me to get in and start doing podcasts, Troy Kirby of the Tower Sports. He actually had me on as a guest a couple of weeks ago. That podcast is now live. I'll link to the Tower of Sports, but if you're in the sports business space and you're looking for more information and more material, Troy does an absolute great podcast. He absolutely puts out so much content. It's quite scary for me doing one a week when I'm seeing the amount of podcasts that Troy is producing, but it's all quality and some really interesting people that he chats to. He's already chatted to a couple of friends of mine, Christine Stoffel from Seat, Ted Johnson from the Minnesota Timberwolves. So go back into his archives, find the ones that you want to listen to, and give him a subscribe. That's it for episode 2. Again, I'd love your feedback. Send me a tweet using the hashtag SGP for Sports Geek Podcast. You can tweet me at Sean Callanan or get me on at Sports Geek. Until next week, have a great week and hopefully your team wins. And more importantly, hopefully your team is trending. Cheers.